Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Welcome, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and we are at another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, I've got someone who's I've known for many years, going back maybe 40 years. I've got Gary Cuneo with us. Gary, welcome to the Life West Leadership Line.
Good to be here.
I'm going to share a little bit with our audience about you. It will not be a eulogy, so don't worry about that. But anyways, let me give you a little bit of history on Gary, because Gary's been in chiropractic for 40 years. Took a two-year break, but I'm just going to give you the rundown, right? In 1974, he left the governor's office. And who was the governor at the time in 74?
Reagan.
Left Reagan's office, right? And he got picked up by the California Board of Chiropractic Examiners. So he was on the examiner's board for 9 years in California, right? And then he went to work for the Reagan administration in Washington, D.C. I guess Ronnie remembered you, right? And went to work for them in Washington, D.C. and spent a couple years in D.C. and then came back to California and spent 12 years at the California Chiropractic Association. He was the executive director. And from there, he became the executive vice president of the American Chiropractic Association, the ACA, for 10 years. And then the next 9 years after that, he was the executive director of the Foundation for Chiropractic Progress. So he's had a lot of history in chiropractic, a lot of history in politics, started off as a school teacher and found his way into the political world, the chiropractic world. And I know that you're very close with Jerry Klum and very close with, you know, Gary, you know, you were building bridges and doing all kinds of stuff with the ICA, the ACA. And, you know, you had no horse in the battle because, you know, you weren't a chiropractor, but you definitely love chiropractic and did a lot. And we could talk about that history, the history, Gary, but I tell you what I really want to do, because I know you're a political pundit. You've got a lot of knowledge, you know, being in D.C. and doing and being on Capitol Hill here in Sacramento, stuff like that. I want to just start off right now. We'll see where we go. But I want to start off asking you about what you see, what your crystal ball sees going with, you know, with the Trump administration coming in. There's a, you know, in healthcare, especially natural healthcare, we're very excited, right, about having some change take place. But share with me what you see, and let's talk about that.
Well, Trump made a comment many times during the campaign that he intended to break some China. And in D.C., there's a lot of China to be broken. It's been a good old boy network for years, and this goes for both political parties.
Yeah.
The organizations, take the AMA for example, is ingrained in that place, and for the longest time was able to have sway on a whole number of issues. None of that's going to happen, I don't think, with the Trump administration. You have just in his appointments of Robert Kennedy Jr. You have someone that's been outside the medical mainstream. A lot of his other appointments, like the director of the Department of Health Services, where you have the NIH institutes, he's been outside. The FDA commissioner is not one of the good old boys. Running down the list, they're all basically not with the gang.
They're not in the network that
has run this country in D.C. for the longest time.
So let me ask you something about it, because I, you know, just because, you know, man, you go back to 72 with Reagan, you know, or actually it was 70 whatever it was. When was Reagan? 70
But Reagan was governor from 65 to 74. I joined him the last 2 years when
And
he was
then when he went
governor.
to the presidency, right?
Correct.
I mean, you saw it firsthand, and obviously it probably hasn't changed. And the crazy thing is this, and I don't, I mean, everybody knows. It's like, we all know that there's so many conflicts of interest, right? I mean, when you think about it, that, and I'm just going to pull one out, right? And there's a million of them, but when you see the FDA, putting money toward research, right? I mean, my gosh, giving money to universities to do research, and there's just so much conflict. And we're not talking about hundreds of dollars, we're talking about billions of dollars, right? How, like, was it a blind eye before? Was it just accepted?
I'll tell you what, at least in my department, Department of Health and Human Services, he had a secretary that was a U.S. senator for 10 years. He knew how the place operated, but he was always leery about the scientists because it was the scientists that controlled that department. And yet he let me get away with stuff that irritated the scientific community and got me an article in the Washington Post. But things had to change. And you know what happened when I left and he left 2 weeks later? They eliminated a lot of the power that I had in my office, and it went back to the good old days when the scientists were again controlled. So it's there's a lot that needs to be done. And I think Trump is one of those that doesn't mind breaking some china, but he's going to have a lot of resistance trying to get stuff through.
Well, listen, we know this about the people that he's bringing in, which, I think a label that we can put is disruptor, disruption,
Absolutely.
right? Which is
Absolutely.
important for change, right? I mean, I don't care what it is. There's good disruption, right? It's not always bad disruption. It's good disruption. And but how did this game, this web, I guess my question is it just money? Is that what is, was that the glue that held this web together? I
Well,
don't know. You tell me.
the money obviously is the factor because each one of these institutes within HHS gets a certain portion of money from Congress and given general instructions on how it's to be used. When it gets down to the agencies, they usually let advisory committees propose the agenda. In other words, where is that money going to be spent and how much? And that's sort of where I came in because my office had to vet all the appointments that came through from the agency to the secretary for approval, or from the agency to the president for the approval. That was one of my primary duties. The other one was approving the renewal of NIH charters. Should this advisory council continue to operate? So I went to the secretary. I said, right now I'm a pass-through office. People, submit their the agency submit their recommendations through my office to make sure they're in compliance with some rules, whatever they may be. And then the secretary, I go, I think we can do better. I think we should make some substitutes. So it's not just the blanket group of scientists that show up over and over in the council. Now, if you appreciate, if I can continue, if you appreciate this two-tier process that exists in NIH and approval of grants, the highest level is dominated by scientists. Only scientists could be on this. And in order for the grant to make it anywhere, they had to get 75% approval from the scientists in terms of relevancy and all that. Then it went to the next tier, which was a little more open. They would have scientists, but they would have some outside groups, some consumer groups, and all that kind of stuff. If you couldn't get past that first tier, you'd never get to the second tier.
So, and listen, you said it before, money's driving this whole thing, right? Or, and we'll see if that
Well,
changes.
and the direction of the research too. Which way does it go?
And I'm sure, and listen, I mean, and there are people who say it also drives the results of what people want to see.
Well, there's probably some truth there. You think that National Cancer Institute, and there are more interest groups on both sides of a treatment. Should it be this way or this way? And you got legislators on both sides, and you got consumer groups on both sides. It's an insider's game,
Absolutely.
particularly with the scientists. Anyway.
So
That's my
when you
view.
look at that and you see this, I mean, obviously you can get very frustrated by watching, but where there's other countries, take France for instance, right? There's no TV advertisements for political campaigns, right? There's other countries that don't have money going into political campaigns, right? So there's not like, where they have donors, because everyone becomes beholden to donors. And whether it's big pharma, big agra, whatever it is, right? We're being controlled by these huge corporations, and people are beholden to them because they're the ones who are giving the money, and they make great investment for them. They make a crap load of money that they then give a portion back to. I mean, what do you see the change that's going to take? Like in your crystal ball, or what would you like to see?
Well, I see a couple of things happening with Trump's appointments. Those that have been with the elite are going to have to start moving over, and I think you're beginning to see that with the food industry. A couple of major companies are willing to talk to Kennedy about additives and stuff like that, which of course he's very interested in. So you'll see that movement. A lot of things can happen, but they have to happen in 2 years. That's the problem. He's got 2 years to accomplish all this. He's a one-term president. The last 2 years, he's going to have his greatest supporters are going to be working to support themselves, making sure they get reelected.
Right.
So what he does, he'll be a lame duck by year three. So he's got to get it done now. I think he's basically put it all on the table. These are all my people. I'm not looking for insiders. I'm looking for outsiders. And it'll be fun to watch him do it. Now, what do I think about those? I think we got to do something to change the system, obviously. I'm not willing to break all the china, though. I gotta be honest with you. And I don't think you have to, because a lot of these guys will see their handwriting on the wall, particularly if he doesn't make a lot of mistakes initially. And they'll start modifying their views as well.
Well, so let me ask you this. I mean, you've been around longer than I have, but I feel like this is the first presidency that I've seen get their cabinet together so quickly, right? Before January 20th, obviously, right? And start doing this in October and November, and oh, I'm sorry, not, well, he was already lining people up, obviously, in October, even probably way before that. But then once the election was over, started announcing and doing this stuff. Like you said, I just read this morning, we're sitting in December right now, right? And this might not be viewed until March, the way that we have them in the can. But there is already in December, right, second week of December, that I saw the same thing this morning. Food companies going to wanting to talk with Robert Kennedy Jr., right, about these additives, right, about making changes, that they're coming with that instead of being told what to do. So you see the change happening because they know it's going to happen anyways, right? I just don't think that these are the kind of guys, Kennedy and Cash Patel, to be bought off,
No, I agree with you. I think you're right. Now, his only problem with announcing so many people all at once, the problem is the vetting process he used. Every other administration uses the FBI. Now, you can distrust the higher level of FBI, but those guys generally do a good job of vetting. Yeah, I was vetted. Okay, a little penny appointment I had. So you don't have surprises. He didn't vet them like that. He used his own private investigation force. So if there's going to be any scandals, it could happen early, and particularly during the Senate hearings when all of this stuff may come out.
Right, but you know what? I mean, obviously, and I'm only thinking this because I'm not an insider, but I mean, with what the FBI, raiding Mar-a-Lago, doing all this stuff, he doesn't trust them, obviously,
That's true. That's
and
true.
Trump, he's the kind of guy that he'll just do what he does and he'll push through, and maybe if he gets 80%, 90%, Perfect. I just read yesterday that, and I didn't read it. I saw it. I was at the gym and I was doing some aerobic exercise. So I was reading, the TVs that were up on the screen, and they were just saying that they're feeling like they're going to get 100% put through. These were some Republican congressmen, and just saying that they feel like it, right now that there's not going to be a lot of push through, pushback on it.
Well, the problem is he announced now that he's going to use the FBI checks, but it's after he made his announcements. So that if they find anything, and it happens, because when the FBI gets involved, they go deep. I mean, they told you, in my experience, I had people in San Diego who I just knew just casually contacted the FBI. I was like, good guy, would I owe anything? I do a lot of bribing in those days. They didn't all know me very well.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. And so when you look at it and you say, listen, by the time this is aired, the laundry's all going to be out, right? So we're just playing crystal ball here and just kind of, look at the future. But let's talk about, health and human services. I mean, let's talk about some of these appointments that are, Bobby Kennedy, right? Robert Kennedy Jr. I had the honor of having him at the campus. He did a fundraiser here. We're not involved. We're a 501c3. We don't do anything with political fundraising. So they paid to be here. They used our auditorium. They wanted to be in the Bay Area somewhere. And the night before, they called me, the Kennedy campaign, and said, would you do a fireside chat with him? He doesn't want to just get up and speak. Would you sit down and we'll ask questions, And I said, well, do you have the questions? But I said, once again, we're a 501c3, and so we vetted it through the attorneys and contracts were signed and all that. And so boom, and we did that. And I have to tell you, he's an amazing man, first of all, brilliant. I mean, just brilliant, Well, we were at dinner later on that night. I was invited to a dinner, and I sat across from him for a little bit, and it was like, just asking him a question. And the guy goes back to, when you talk about the Ukraine war, he just goes back to 1966 and with the peace accords and NATO. I mean, he has it all up here. Brilliant, brilliant guy. You can't put much past him,
No, he's gonna be interesting. Go ahead. I'm
But
sorry.
tell me, like, what do you see the seats that are going on, and what, we can start with RFK Jr. and then any other people that you see that they're saying right now is, that were, that Trump has nominated, because they haven't been vetted yet as of this taping.
I looked for my list. RFK is interesting. He was one of the first to criticize the COVID vaccine process because they labeled him as being anti-vaccine. He said, well, I'm not anti. I'm only anti-vaccine when it comes to this stuff. He's one of the first to talk about food additives and how he felt that it's particularly with cereals and things of that kind that we were getting caught in this. But there's a couple other guys. I can't find my list now, but
Well,
I'll
just
find
check
them.
this out. While you're looking for it, just check this out. You talk about RFK Jr., right? And RFK Jr. repeatedly said this. He said, when I was getting mercury out of the water, right? Whether Hudson River, wherever it was, when I was cleaning chemicals up and mercury, they didn't call me anti-fish. And now he's trying to clean up vaccines, and but they're calling me anti-vax, and those are just labels. I mean, who wouldn't want to say what I want to put in my kid? I want it to be healthy. I want it to be clean. I want it to be whatever it is. Whether you have a viewpoint one way or the other, it should be going through a rigorous process, which, RFK will say that none of these vaccines, the 72 vaccines at this time, have gone through any rigorous progress. A process, vetting process, we'll say, like the FBI you talked about, they didn't go through the scientific processes,
That there's a, the first guy that under Kennedy that I think is a good fun to watch is a Dr. J. Bhattacharya, Bhattacharya, professor at Stanford University.
He's at Stanford, yeah.
He's noted for participating in developing or signing on to the Great Barrington Declaration. This was signed by 20 people. Now I'll just read the second paragraph if I can. Current lockdown policy, talking about COVID, producing devastating effects on short and long-term public health. The results, to name a few, include lower childhood vaccination rates, worsening cardiovascular disease outcomes, fewer cancer screenings, and deteriorating mental health, leading to a greater excess mortality in years to come with the working class and the younger members of society. Keeping students out of school is a grave injustice. I mean, that's pretty strong language.
It is.
And, you know, he had the credentials to support that. So obviously he's going to have an impact on all the institutes, and there's 26 institutes and centers in NIH. And he's advocating reducing them to 15. So again, watch the scientists quiver a little bit with all this, you know.
the good old boy and girl network.
Correct.
You know, it's
correct.
Interesting too, you had to have seen this, being, you know, spending so much time on Capitol Hill here in California and Capitol Hill over in D.C. You know, when you're with Reagan and then the ACA, because you know you're walking the hill all the time. And when we look at that and you see what took place, you know, where it's not even about right or wrong anymore. People don't want to, you know, they'll look and they'll get whatever information they can, whether it's true or not, and they'll use it as their backing. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, the Great Barrington Group, right? You know, I bring up the name and people say, oh, well, let me look, and they'll go on Wikipedia or Google it, and they say, well, and depending who wrote it, if it was the Washington Post, they felt one, you know, they came from this side. If it was Epoch Times, they came from this side. And it was like, you know, you just don't know, or the people didn't know, and they just chose whatever stance they wanted. People really weren't willing, that I believe, to look at the science. You know, I got to tell you, and we could just go to COVID right now with the Great Barrington Group. You know, it was like, it was a 2-week thing to flatten the curve.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that the money trail, as it comes out over the years, and it's already coming out right now, I think that this is going to be one of the biggest, you know, exposés of, I don't know, mismanagement, you know, that we're ever, probably, you know, in our lifetime, you know, I really do. I thought at first it was the Vietnam War for a while, you know, and then all of a sudden now, I mean, it's going to be huge. I mean, it is going to be huge.
I mean, you've got a lot of consumer groups, a lot of opposition that boils up over this. It's not just the scientists. It's consumer groups, it's parents who are heavily invested in a lot of these institutes and a lot of these advisory councils. And these councils are divided. Councils, as I said, is a prime example of it. You got one group wants a particular approach, the other one wants a different approach, and they're constantly battling each other, and they have their supporters on the Hill. These people will be involved in this, which will make it more difficult to do. But it depends on how successful he is and how early he is in being successful.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, and that's, I think, why they're doing it right now. Look, we're sitting December, and you already have people coming to Bobby Kennedy, you know, food companies, cereal companies, talking about getting rid of, you know, red number 3, whatever it is, you know. I mean, I've never seen this before, and I haven't been around that long, you know. I'm pushing 69, but I've been through some presidential elections. It's it's very, very interesting, you know. Very,
it is, and it's surprising too.
Yeah,
the results were very. You know, it's interesting to make the analogy with LBJ and Ronald Reagan on these elections. LBJ swamped Goldwater. San Francisco, you got 27% of the vote. Goldwater did. So LBJ carried the House, carried the Senate with big margins. And you know what he did? He overreached. He tried to get up, he got civil rights laws passed and war on poverty and all these other programs. And guess what happened 2 years later? He lost some of the Senate. And 2 years after that, he was out of office.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that was the most popular guy in the world. Reagan had the same problem, but a different result. Reagan had a great result on election night. But you know what happened? He overreached. He tried to get all of his conservative items passed, and he He had a lot of support doing it, but 2 years later, he lost the Senate. And it was only because he got involved in other stuff that he was able to serve those two full term. Plus, he was a different type of guy from LBJ. In some respects, Biden did the same thing. Even though Biden's margin of victory wasn't all that great, he still tried to push through all this kind of stuff, and it bit him, and it bit the Democrats because he waited too long to back out.
And you know, it's going to be interesting too, because you said it, you know, with Trump having 4 years, right? 4 years,
Yeah,
you know,
two.
his last 2 years will be setting up the next 8 years
Yeah.
with you know, to carry the message, to carry the ball, to do that, right? So that you know, it whatever he does, if it is successful, to be able to make it, you know, continue on, right?
Yeah,
And
you can't lose sight of the public because they're so fickle. They will go up and down depending on how their own life is going. Could determine what happens in 4 years.
You know, it is interesting, and I'm gonna go back to what I said before, Gary. It's like people get information from all different places, and they take everything they get, and they if it's what they want to see, then they make it fact.
Right.
And you know, it's just there's so much information coming and misinformation
Yeah.
floating around these days. I should really say just misinformation. And it's just,
Right.
you know, who you listen to, what you believe. I mean, my gosh, you don't even know online right now. You don't know if it's a bot. You don't know if it's AI that's doing something, you know, or if it's
Right.
really that person's voice that's speaking, you know. I mean,
Correct.
you just don't know. It's just so crazy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting too, because I'll just share this with you. I've learned a lot being the president here at LifeWest. And one of the things I've learned about the generation right now, the Generation Zs, and the, you know, that's kind of coming, that's in right now, our earlier students. And then of course the Generation Ys, you know, it's like our Xs, I'm sorry. It's back in my day, probably your day, we followed leaders. You know, we followed, you know, Martin Luther King and you know, John F. Kennedy and these leaders who were there, Ronald Reagan, and you know, we followed people. These students these days, that's not their gig. They're not interested in following people. They want to follow movements. And that means things that make sense to them, right? That hit them right? So it's not the person anymore, because you know, people would have just, you know, we would follow blindly once you got your leader, and you know, you whatever direction they're going, you're gonna go. And whether, you know, it's like the Forrest Gump theory, that's what I call it, you know, the Forrest Gump effect. Remember, he's on the bridge and he's running across America, stops on that bridge and says, "I think I'll go home now." And they said, "What about us? Like, what do we do?" You know, kind of these students follow movements. And you know, my wish for the future is that, you know, these movements are, you know, are good movements, and that's what's going to be able to push it. It won't be individuals, you know. And so, you know, all I know is this: you've watched the evolution a lot longer than I have, because you've been involved in politics for many, many years, and you've seen evolution take place. And it'll keep evolving. We'll keep functioning and keep moving forward. But you know, just depends if we go sideways to get there. You know, I don't know. It's good stuff, Gary. And listen, I appreciate you so much. I really do. I appreciate all you've done, you know, for the profession at different times in the profession, you know, and they were very different times going back into the, you know, into the 70s. And you were probably there when I took my examination, my California examination in the very, very early 80s, you know. But it's all so different now, and it's all and things are just changing. And you know, we have to go with the change, because change is, you know, whether it's good or not, we find out afterwards. But change is inevitable. It's something that we have to move with.
And an understanding, if I could have a word on politics, an understanding that the profession needs to get more involved in politics. I think they were a lot more involved. That made my job easier when I was at CCA and ACA, because they understood the importance of getting involved in campaigns and targeting races and doing all the kind of stuff that an organization or a profession that doesn't want to make waves won't do. But the only way you can get anybody's attention at that capital or in Sacramento is you got to make waves.
Yeah.
And you do that at the election box.
Yeah.
I don't know how restricted you guys are on the educational institutions, but the more you get the students involved, that's getting them involved at this level makes it so much better when they get to an association level if they ever decide to do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I have to tell you, there's so much hours that we've got to teach right now that politics is probably, you know, they have to get out. What we encourage them to do is join the state associations, join a national association, you know, get involved on that level, but they've got to build their practices first, but get involved. And, you know, there's a lot of apathy right now, but there's apathy in the world around that stuff.
Yep.
But we'll see. We'll see in the next 2 years if things start moving in a natural health level, you know, we'll see if people start jumping on the train, because we have a really great opportunity right now.
And you absolutely do.
Yeah. So
absolutely
we'll watch it, and I'll bring you back on in 2 years and we'll have a conversation. We'll look back at what we were predicting or what we were looking at in December of 2024 and what's actually going on in like December of 2020, you know, 2020.
We'll be able to say how smart we were too.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, Gary, it's been a blast. Thank you.
Enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Enjoyed our company too the other night.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. And thanks for all that you do. And thanks for, and not being a chiropractor, you were invested in chiropractic and really seeing our profession, profession grow. And just thank you. You know, it's just so cool that, you know, and it's nice you get to watch and see what's going on with the foundation that you were part of in the early days, you and Jerry and now you can see what's happening and how Kent Greenwald has just really blossomed that, you know, the organization and what they're doing and just amazing stuff that a lot of people don't know, you know. That's happening that we happen to have the privilege to know. But just thank you and thank our viewers, you know, thank you, you know, thanks for coming in week in and week out. We drop these every other week. The opposite weeks is a Life by Life West that's done by my with my wife, Dr. Mary Oberstein, and we have great guests on there. So you know, thanks for all that you do. Thanks for tuning in. 30 minutes of your day once a week, and you get to get some good chiropractic or history or politics now, and just be able to really kind of take a listen. And not whether you agree, disagree, right, left, up or down, nothing like that. Just, you know, we just got to be open, take things in, and just allow ourselves from the inside out to decipher it and digest it. And then come back with whatever it is that we feel about it. So thank you. And until we come back at you again from Gary Cuneo and myself, we'll bid you adieu. And we'll see you at the next Life West Leadership Line. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.